Such is the nature of life that all it asks and all it wants is the opportunity to appear. You are that opportunity, and so am I, and so it is. Join me, if you will, in a moment of centering, of an opening spiritual mind treatment. So I know there is only one power, whatever name I give it. The name that is most heartfelt for me is the name I choose, which for me today is infinite intelligence. It is God, it is love. So as I recognize it, that one power is all there is, and I am it, and it is me, and everything within me that moves through me comes from and is part of that one power. I recognize this with great love. I open my heart to greater love and greater compassion. I open my mind to better ideas. And I am ready to receive the wisdom of the universe that comes to me from within my own consciousness in response to everything I'm listening to and participating in during this next hour. It serves me well. It feeds my soul. It gives me strength to move on through the days that are going on right now and are ahead. So knowing that, I can release this, letting it be. And so it is. So welcome, everyone, to the Center for Spiritual Living, Midtown Atlanta. If you're with us on Zoom, or if you're with us on Facebook, or you're listening to our audios, thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for allowing us an opportunity to share with you. It's such a rich idea and awareness that we are reaching somewhere between 175 and 200 people every morning, every Sunday morning when we do this. We're part of something bigger than just what appears on the outside. We are part of Centers for Spiritual Living, which is much larger and which is worldwide, and which is meeting and covering the same themes each week that we are here in our location in Atlanta. I want to remind you that whoever you are, we recognize you, we know you, and because we know you, we know that you are an expression of the divine. We know that that's what counts. That's the identity that matters. The others are there. Our ethnicities, our communities, our preferences, all of those things are important, and they make up who we are. But what matters and what brings us together in unity right now is that inner space of being expressions of the divine, coming together to create a community of love and a community in which we can develop the skills, the spiritual skills, the spiritual tools, to live our lives to the very greatest and most important and powerful way that we choose. That we choose. So thank you for being here. I welcome you. I'm so glad you're here. For another step in our expression of ourselves, we turn to the Declaration of Principles, which Ernest Holmes, the founder of Science of Mind, put forward. And he did that to let us know, kind of, this is what we believe. He was answering a question from a radio host, actually, whenever he pulled it together. And then with a little tweaking and a little editing, but not much, this has become the Declaration of Principles, or at least a part of it. So I'm inviting you to join us by reading along on the screen and by reading it out loud if you choose. Just stay muted so we don't have such a scramble. So here's the truth. I believe in one God, one absolute power and first cause to all things. I believe that this power is perfect love, and it creates out of a desire to express love. I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience. I believe in the unity of all life and the immortality of the individual soul forever unfolding. I believe in the eternal goodness, the eternal loving kindness, and the eternal givingness of God to all. And so it is. So a practitioner in our teaching is someone who has studied the teaching, who has demonstrated the ability to use spiritual principles to create change and healing in their lives, and also then can do that for other people, on other people's behalf. And they've demonstrated that to the point that the Center for Spiritual Living, our international organization, has licensed them to do so. And our center here is very, very blessed to have a number of these practitioners as part of our organization. So today we will be hearing from one of our newer practitioners, but not new to the business of this teaching. She's been in it since childhood. So without a lot of conversation, I will am joyful to introduce you to Maya Fuller.
Hi, thank you, Dr. Bob, and good morning, everyone. Hello and welcome. So we all know that today is the last day of May, and as such, today's message closes out May's theme for the month, which is Listen to Your Heart. Today's topic is entitled These Hands. And the prompt that CSL sent along with today's topic is this: My life is the life of the divine made manifest. Spirit works through me in the world. These hands are the hands of God. What is mine to do? What actions am I to take to live my call and my life's purpose? And the affirmation for today's talk is, love guides my hands in divine right action. So in the light of the events that have transpired across our great nation over the past several nights, the timing of this message about what good can I do with these hands, it's perfect timing. And I think that I can safely say that regardless of our diverse ideologies, we all have the same very basic things. We have some very basic things in common. We want to live in a country and a world that is safe, peaceful, and welcoming of us. Something else that we have in common here in this group is the science of mind teaching, which tells us that each individual has a very important role to play in manifesting the outpicturing of this shared dream and outpicturing it into a shared reality. We are co-creators with the universe, and we create our experiences through consciousness, through the predominant thought and feeling vibrations that we emit into the ethers. So I'm going to share a short passage from this book, Mind Over Medicine by Lissa Rankin. This is the book that we have been reading from in the class that Dr. Bob is teaching. It's called Revealing Wholeness. And as on a side note, I definitely want to recommend you that you take a class. It definitely helps us dive deeper into the teachings and help us pull more of the awareness of the truth out of ourselves, and also get a chance to commune with one another as a community. And also we get to learn from the great wisdom of Dr. Bob Dean. So definitely next time a class comes up, I invite you to take a class. So on page 26 of Mind Over Medicine, Lissa gives this exhortation about being the change. Lissa Rankin is actually a medical doctor, and she believes that our healthcare system is fundamentally broken because we have omitted the concept of spirit from our healing practices. So she believes that modern medicine needs to join together with our spiritual understanding to create a more holistic approach to treating the sickness in our bodies. So I'm going to ask that you listen to her sentiments about the healthcare system, but then as you do that, I'm asking you that you imagine that she's talking about the healing that can occur in our country and our world. So when you hear the words healthcare, I invite you to replace them with words such as our country, our community, and our world. So be the change. Lissa says that a few years back, I had a dream. And in the dream, I saw magnificent mountains covered with millions of people dressed in brilliant colors and tribal garb from all over the world. The people were standing shoulder to shoulder, covering the mountainsides with like a great quilt. And all of them were facing due north, where a bright light was shining on their faces, illuminating them. That's what I see when I think of healing our broken healthcare system, our broken world, our broken communities, our broken country. All of us standing shoulder to shoulder, facing north and being the light. I know it seems hopeless to think that healthcare can reclaim its heart, but just like I believe there are no incurable illnesses, I also believe there are no incurable systems. It's going to require a grassroots effort, though, initiated by patients and healthcare providers just like you. So I'm asking for your help. We must rise up, open our minds, open our hearts, and bring the care back to healthcare, the care back to our communities, our country, our world. It all starts with you. Be the love you want to see in healthcare, and miracles really can happen. When I told my husband about today's topic, these hands, he immediately responded by telling me that it reminded him of a pledge he took as a child when he was a member of the 4-H Club. Some of you might be familiar with 4-H. They call themselves a community for kids that is sponsored by a partnership of 100 universities across the country. According to their website, for more than 100 years, 4-H has welcomed young people of all beliefs and backgrounds, giving kids a voice to express who they are and how they make their lives and communities better. So this is a pledge that members of 4-H have taught to their children and taught them when it comes to being responsible as citizens. So if these words ring true to you, I invite you to accept these words for yourself, as my husband and other 4-H children members have accepted them for themselves. So they say, I pledge with these hands. I pledge my head to clearer thinking, my heart to greater loyalty, my hands to larger service, my health to better living, for my club, or for myself, for my family, for my community, my country, and my world. So now as we move into our treatment, I invite you to get comfortable and relaxed. And please feel free to accept these words for yourself as I speak them in the first place. I recognize that there is one power, one presence in the universe that is infinite, intelligent life. Some call it spirit, universe, Allah, God, Buddha. Some might call it infinite mind, the one, the force, light, or any other word that feels real to them. I recognize the one as the power, the presence, and the love of all that is. And since God, this power, is all there is, there can be nothing outside of God, which is good. And no one is separate from God, good. So as we realize and declare our oneness as spiritual beings, I recognize my unity with all there is. I know that the divine qualities of peace, power, plenty, and wisdom are already within me. I embrace them now and allow them to create a world, a community, a country that is peaceful, loving, accepting, and beautiful right now. So it is with great gratitude that I accept this truth for myself and for others. I know that it is already done, and for that I give thanks as I release these words into the universe and let spirit do its perfect work. So I let it be by saying, and so it is.
It is.
And now for our music selection for the day, we have one of our lead practitioners, Doug Moody. I've decided to call him our interim minister of music. And so he's done it again by coming up with a new song, but that is connected to our community. It's a new song apparently entitled Superhero, and it's by Nemo Patel and the great Daniel Namod. Enjoy.
Wow, These Hands. That's the talk title today. I love that. New song from Daniel and his partner there. I have been annoyed the last few years with the superhero movies, frankly, and I got to a point where I didn't want to go to see any more Marvel movies because you had to be magical and super and leap tall bound buildings and all of that to be considered of any value, and which of course isn't true, but it was my gut reaction to it. And so when this video came out, I was like, yes, 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 double yes. The real superheroes, the real power is already present in each of us, and we don't have to go anywhere to get it. We don't have to make anything happen. We don't have to jump over buildings to get it. It's right here, and it's in our hands to use it to do something important for ourselves and for the world. As simple as a kind gesture, a tap on the shoulder, or wherever it needs to show up. And we always know from within us where that is and how that occurs. So thank you, Daniel, for reminding us of that. And thank you, Doug. I like Maya, you're dubbing him the temporary minister of music. I'm not sure how temporary that is, but he's certainly definitely our current one. And because he's bringing a real ministry to us through that. And along that line, before I dive into my talk, if you have ideas for music you'd like that you've experienced or you see that's part of your understanding and that supports the ideas of this teaching, please feel free to pass those on to me or to Doug. If you don't have Doug's contact, I'll make sure that we get it to him so that we can reach an even wider array of musical interest and taste. So these hands, wow. So I worked on this talk all week, and as I started working on it, I started looking at what does that mean? What does that really be about? What is that really about? I mean, all week or in all month, we've been dealing with the heart, opening the heart, experiencing the heart. Last month, we talked about the path is clear and the idea that you find your path because your inner voice, your inner truth, your inner knowing guides you to it. And it may not look like, it probably doesn't actually look like anyone else's path. And it probably isn't going to be a path well worn by anyone else, although it might be. You may simply join others who are walking the same way in the same place. And I found it to be really fun and wonderful to do that. We opened up and we also talked about the idea when you come to the end of the path, the end of the light that you've known, that your faith takes you forward for the next step. And all of that was rich and wonderful. So today we start looking at this business of our hands. How do we use our hands? And what are our hands really for? And I want to share with you a quote from Raymond Charles Barker from his wonderful book on the power of decision. And where is it? It is right here. All right. What he says and what is true is all creation, individual creations, starts with desire. God desired self-expression and the cosmos was born. The desires of your heart are the possibilities that can be manifest in your experience. The desires of your heart are the possibilities that can be manifest in your experience. I find that to be a rich idea, a wonderful idea. I grew up in a tradition in which desire was considered probably not a good idea, no matter what it was. If you really had a great desire for something, it's probably going to be wrong or get you in trouble or be sinful in some way. And I really associated desire with all that negative stuff. And I really thought that the very essence of our human expression experience, I usually associated desire with sex. And I said, that's wrong, that's evil, because that's what I was taught. Didn't believe it, but that's what I was taught. And yet, as I walked in the door to this teaching, what I learned from the very beginning was desire is a good thing. The desire is that whispering of truth from within you that says, you want this? That is the spirit calling you to be something special and unique based on your desire, based on who you are. It's the opportunity to stand up and say, hey, I want this. I want to express this. And desire is not about a desire to get something particularly as much as it's the desire of what do you want to give? What do you want to become? What do you want to say? Where do you want to go? How do you want to be in the world? desire is not about reacting to things. It's not about, it's always about, let me show you a word. This is better. Let's go back to that quote real quick. One of the important things about desire is desire is a desire to create, not to react. And this came out for me because I had a great week preparing for this talk, and then suddenly Friday night happened. I had an intuitive sense that I shouldn't go to the beach this weekend, which I was planning to do and do this from the beach. I was going to give you guys a real beach scene behind me. And instead, I got to this one. And I ended up having an intuitive sense to stay here. And so I did stay here. So it becomes a matter for us of creating that which we want to do and have and be and experience by putting our consciousness, the C standing for consciousness, in the right place. Too often we react because we don't start with consciousness. We react rather than respond because we put the C in the middle. It gets hidden down here behind all the other letters. Whereas if we take the time to lead with consciousness, we can figure out our desire and bring that forward and create our response, create our thought, create our idea that goes with whatever is happening. My heart broke when I heard and saw all that happened Friday night. It broke when I heard about the events that led up to it. The horrible death that we got to watch live on television of George Floyd. One of many, the end of a long line. You know, and as I talk about this, I'm aware I have a lot of thoughts that I'm probably going to offend somebody. So if you happen to be that somebody, just forgive me and love me anyway. And if you're not, well, okay. But I was brokenhearted. I was brokenhearted that it happened again. And I was brokenhearted that our world took this long to finally respond again. I was thrilled when I heard there were protests all over the country. I was not thrilled when those protests turned into violence and attacks on other people. It's so interesting that in saying no more violence against us, we created violence against them, whoever the them is. And that's happened down through the ages with all kinds of groups. And that's not to make any one group wrong. People of all countries, all experiences, do horrible things to one another every day. And they react to it, and they fight back. See, the desire that wants to express itself as the universe is a desire to create, a desire to respond, a desire to make something greater and better. And all of these reactions that happen that are anything but desire are cries for help, are cries of what isn't true. Because what is true of every human being on the planet, and maybe other planets, we don't know, is that we are each one expressions of the divine. We each one have a self that is bigger than the self that inhabits this ego-encapsulated bag of water that we call our bodies. We have a self that is not only bigger than we are, we can experience and actually measure some of it that goes way out energetically, but we can also recognize that that self is immersed and held within an infinite self, an infinite power. And what breaks my heart about this is that people don't know this. Because if they knew, they would understand that the real power for living is inside of them, and nobody can take that away. Yes, cultures can act as if they don't have it. Cultures can take it away from us. I mean, one can try and take it away from someone else. Groups of people do horrible things as well as individuals. But the way through that is not to out-horrible the other group, nor is it to try and get revenge or any of that, because that just perpetrates the same old thing. What does change and bring about change is dropping into the awareness that when I speak my word is the word of God. My word is the word of power. And nothing and no one on the planet or in my experience can take that away from me unless I choose to let them. And when I have experienced it being taken away, and I've had plenty of those experiences, the way out of that is not by getting back at them. It is about forgiveness, because forgiveness comes out of that awareness of who I truly am. And it brings me to a higher place, to a different place, to a better place in consciousness. Einstein said, no problem can be solved at the same level of consciousness that it was created. We have to rise to a different idea, whether it's a better idea of a plant or a better idea of what of physics or any of those things that Einstein worked with. But he was talking about life in general, life in its wholeness. What I'm thrilled about is the way I saw our mayor, I saw our police department, and others are responding to this out of saying, yes, we agree with you. What is happening and what has been happening in this country for a long time is a tragedy. It's sad. It should not go on. We've got to find a way to change the basic culture, not only in relationship to Black folks, but also in relationship to people, period. But the important one that's up right now is dealing with our Black brothers and sisters, who are as much in the oneness power of goodness and life as anybody else, and learn to see that differently. We have a long history in this country. We have a lot of ancient built-in our DNA kinds of stuff to get over. But we have a power working with us and for us and through us that can help us move through and get over all of that, as long as we can stop buying into it and not add to it by adding our own anger, our own condemnation, our own damning of any other human being. Because when we do that, we're really damning a part of ourselves. The whole idea from Ho'oponopono is that if something's happening in the world, it's happening in me, and I have some responsibility for it because my consciousness is part of the unified consciousness of life. And so we learn to say, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I love you. Thank you. And we repeat it over and over in the face of anything coming up. Jesus said it. Love your enemies. Pray for those who would fight against you. Not because we're saying what they're doing is right. He wasn't saying that. But he's saying that those folks are showing up in our lives to show us a change that needs to happen in consciousness. And a place where love has been chipped away or taken away or is not shining through. What if we learn to live as if love is all there is? What a rich idea that is. What if I even love the police officers who did harm, who took the life of George Floyd? I can love George Floyd because of what he stands for and what happened to him quickly and easily. But I have to forgive my attitude towards that particular police person and get over all the judgments I've made about him in order to see his oneness, in order to lift my consciousness out of that duality. And man, I would love to take the easier path. Not the path through the woods that hasn't been traveled, but the easier path, the one that's well beaten, of blaming this person or blaming that person, naming what group is right and what group is wrong and who's got the right idea and who's got the wrong idea, instead of standing in the truth that within me and within each of us, there's a greater good coming forward and being pushed into the world. And right now, our whole culture is in transformation. This virus has put us in a place where things aren't working the same old way. It's sad for what's happening individually for people, no question. But what's happening for the consciousness of the world may be our salvation of, and by that I don't mean that we're lost, I mean that can move us to a better place in consciousness. To see love where we may not have seen it before. To see gratitude, to see good things happening in places where we may not have seen it before. That's the power of this moment in time. I remember back in the 80s, in the early 90s, I was working with folks in some spiritual practices where we were doing a lot of work with energies and we were traveling around the world and doing prayer work in different places and awakening the consciousness in those places. We felt bringing people, just kind of getting folks online, trying to get the whole planet online. And about 10 years ago, some of that group started to say, you know, this is what we prepared for. We're there. We're not looking forward to a time in the future where things are going to change and where there's going to be a transformation or whether another great convergence is going to happen to make things all better. We're there. We're in the all better part. And the hard part of transformation is always the chaos and the loss that comes when the old begins to crumble. And I believe that's where we are. And I have deep gratitude for the people who are participating in the crumbling, because it's a painful place to be. It's a hard place to be. It's a difficult ministry to bring forward, whether it's a ministry of bigotry and anger or a ministry of victimhood and being hurt. Because the truth is, both sides of that coin really aren't, that's not the truth of them. The truth of them is they are expressions of the divine. That's a little hard to swallow sometimes. And I've had to wrestle with it this week. And I invite you to wrestle with it, to think about what I'm talking about and decide, can I really believe any of that? Or am I just liking the sort of gentle idea of we're all divine beings and, you know, that's kind of the end of it. See, Holmes kept saying that the last step of spiritual mind treatment, of prayer, was to move your feet. It wasn't just a treat. So the slogan came out, treat and move your feet, do something. But do something based on that desire from within you, and I would say that desire which is love. Living from love, not from fixing it by rearranging the conditions. I don't need to go out there. We talked about this last week. You don't lose weight by getting a different mirror. You lose weight by losing weight. You don't look better by erasing the mirror. You might put on some makeup. I've been thinking about that myself, but you really change things by changing our hearts, our souls, our beingness from within. So when I move my feet, I want to move my feet from a place of love, from a place of wisdom, from a place within me where change gets expressed. And it may be as simple. I heard an interesting guy this morning on TV as I was doing a quick catch up on what happened overnight. A minister, a Baptist minister in town. And he said, you know, if you're wanting to be a hero and you feel called to go and hold up a sign and say Black Lives Matter, then do it. If you're feeling called to make a casserole and take it to somebody who's closed in and doesn't get to go out anymore because of sheltering at home, do it. If you want to just pray for people, do it. But we're all called right now, more than ever, I think, in our history, to do something in response to our declarations of love, of life, of our life, of all life, of the lives of those who may not even understand how powerful and important they really are, and how free they are. And maybe it's by joining them in speaking out and joining the conversation to say, we are all one. We are all empowered. We are all good. We are all God. And nobody should be put in the position of thinking otherwise. So the real idea here, the affirmation that, thank you, Maya, you shared it with us earlier, is my affirmation for the day, for the month. This was an interesting quote. I didn't get to use it yet, but I wasn't going to, but this was pre-planned over a year ago for today's talk. We cannot enter the gate of good with the sword in our hands. We must enter it with love in our hands. Love guides my hands this day and every day. It's not there. In divine right action, whether that's my prayer, whether that's my sign making, whether that's my loving and forgiving anyone I may think of as bad or evil or the enemy. That's a tall order. But we're not called to anything we're not capable of. So I invite you to join me this day in affirming. Love guides my hands. These are the hands of God. My feet are the feet of God. My head, my thoughts, my feelings are the feelings of God. And I allow them and move them into a channel of divine love. Love guides my hands in divine right action. Today, yesterday, tomorrow, and every day. This is my truth. I had to tell you because you're wonderful, and so am I, and so it is. Thank you. Big breath. Now join me, if you will, in a bit of meditation. Let me drop this off the screen. Quietly going within. Turning away from all the chaos that may have gone on in your mind, from whatever yes buts or oh no's or I can't do it that may have stirred up in my talk. And turn instead to that quiet place within you. Breathe in, breathe out, just doing what we are made to do, which is connect with our universe and our world. So you breathe in and gently breathe out. Breath is another word for spirit in almost every language. Breathing all the way in, slowly down as far into your body as you can imagine. And then releasing. Breathing in and feeling and knowing that deep peace that lies within you. Invite the awareness of yourself that is bigger than your body to show up. It's more like a sensation or a feeling. There's more to me than meets the eye. Now follow your breath into your heart. With each breath, with each exhale, feeling your heart open a little more, expressing a little more love. A little more light, a little more joy. And as you think of all of the folks who stood up for justice this weekend, let your judgment slip away and just love them. Love them for doing what they felt was the right and highest and best for them in this moment, knowing that it is the highest and right and best for all. It is sparking change, just opening the conversation. You don't have to think loving thoughts other than to imagine yourself emanating love as like a vibration from you. Some people see it as a green light. Others see it as a golden white light that just flows out of you and surrounds and fills all of those people. Love yourself first for doing this. See your whole body, your whole self, the larger you, filled with light and love, green, golden. Surrounded. And now allow that love to flow out to those you maybe have been disapproving of. Not asking you to approve of their behavior, but to love their person, to love their spiritual beingness. For everyone has it. Love them for whatever their actions may be costing them. Love those who've been victimized by all the rioting. Businesses destroyed, people's lives harmed. Imagine your love being the surrounding them in a way that lifts them up and supports them. For we know we live in a universe that has one power and only one. Regardless of how that gets used by individuals, because we're free to use it, the ultimate truth is it is taking us forward always towards a greater and greater expression of itself, which means a greater expression of love. And so as an expression of that divine, as an individual being of the divine, letting all that it is flow through me, its peace, its power, its freedom, in my own personal peace and power and freedom and love. I don't have to do this by myself. I allow that which is greater than me to flow through me and out into the world. Forgiving where I need to forgive. Holding up where I need to hold up, releasing what I need to release and let go of. And one of the things I release is any belief in the ultimate victimhood of anyone. I release any belief that that is necessary in order for anyone to enjoy their lives, that they need to victimize anyone else. And for anyone who has been harmed and victimized in any way, to find within them the power to stand strong and stand tall and speak their word in a way that brings them out of the pain of that victimization. I love them. And now we open our hearts and minds to the idea that there may be something for us to know, something more for us to do individually. As a community, we hold this truth. But as individuals, there may be more. Or different things to do. If you have a feeling or a sense or a desire for that, then follow the wisdom within you, the love within you, and take whatever action of moving your feet you're called to. I am convinced nothing that happens in the physical world is any stronger than my own prayer and the power of prayer as it works and moves in the world. That is my action. that is my moving my feet. I invite you to take whatever part of that is yours, along with all whatever else is yours. Knowing that it is divine action when you're clear about it coming from within. So we've wandered around from treatment to thoughts to treatments, but here's the final word. The final word is my truth is God's truth. My knowing is God knowing something through me and God revealing to me the greater idea for myself. This is my truth. I'm grateful for it. I'm grateful for life. I let it be, and so it is. I'm often a chatterbox and make things way complicated when I'm talking about them. However, we have a board member who cuts right to the chase. She gets to the heart of a matter, and she speaks it in simple terms. Today, she's going to share with you our some affirmation and prosperity, as well as our announcements, and that's the wonderful Karen Childs.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you, Bob. That was, I should have dressed up for that. In any event, I want to say to everyone how honored I am to share this platform with such accomplished people. And Maya, Bob, your excellent words and messages, Vance, Doug, and all others behind the scenes who pull this show together on a weekly basis and maintain continuity throughout the week. One could say, if one were not in this teaching, that, oh great, I have the task of asking people for money. Yikes, who wants to do that? But the flip side of that is there's joy in giving. And I want to remind everybody that when you give, it does not diminish you in any way. It rather multiplies all the goodness that you are and that you have. So this segment on prosperity, when we read this, when we put this up on the screen and when we read this, there are a couple of lines near the end. And we'll read them together in a minute, but I want to call them out to you preliminarily so that you will be in the proper mindset to bring the emotion of these words to you. It says, all that I share with life returns to me multiplied abundantly. So let's have a look at this and read it together. I guess if you're muted, you'll be saying it to yourself and to anyone around you. But when you read those words about your abundance being multiplied, let that feeling well up in you. Let your consciousness be aware of the goodness in you that allows you to share. And your motivation won't be because of what does come back to you, but you will know it as you recognize the good in all that you do. So, affirmation of prosperity. Let's read this together. I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow, and all that I share with life returns to me multiplied abundantly. And so it is. Now we have revised our ways of giving, and so I'm not going to take your time to go through all those, but please go online and you'll see that we have new methods to donate online. Of course, you can always do this through PayPal, or you can even send a check to CSL Midtown, and that PO box is on the website. In this weird time of having to do things online, and we are so disconnected, I want to remind you that there's a whole system of people in this teaching that is supporting you from behind the scenes. And your donations, your financial donations, are very, very important to us at this time. So please focus on that and do what you can. Find your good in it and be guided by that. The announcements are listed for you on the sheet, and I certainly am not going to read those to you. However, I would like to have you heighten your awareness to the moments in which perspective is in short supply? You know, I'm a pretty good steward of my own mind and my own body and all the things around me I know I can control and I cannot. And this opportunity to share and connect with like-minded people is one that we suggest you really take advantage of, because those are the people that shore you up just by being in the same mindset as you when you for a moment have kind of lost your way or forgot how you're supposed to access all this power within your own subconscious. So take a note of Tuesday afternoons and Thursday evenings and use the same Zoom information that you have. And I've referenced already the new contribution system. You'll see that on the website. And I am so aware of the people in our membership who are practitioners. These are the people who have trained for years and years and are licensed. And those people who know how to help without being attached to your outcome, which is pretty important. You're not going to have anyone telling you what to do or how to do it, but rather to open up your awareness and how you can see your own good within your own consciousness. So with that, I am going to wish you all a wonderful week and a wonderful heightened ability to find the good in every single thing that's going on around you. That is where the balance is.
Thank you, Karen. I appreciate that a lot. Wow. Love having all of you participating. Thank you all for being here. For those who are hanging in with us, I apologize for going over. I got a little long-winded. However, I'm not going to apologize too much. I think it's all in divine order as well. So I would like to say there will be a new class starting in a couple of weeks. I'll be sending out information about it. So watch your newsletter and the email. If you're not on our newsletter list, there's a place on our website, cslmidtown.org, to sign up. And that way you'll know what's going on. It's really important nowadays, especially to keep up in whatever way we can with what's happening. So join me, if you will, in our closing affirmation, and we'll look forward to seeing everyone here next week. I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything I need to create a life I desire. I give thanks for this understanding, and I am grateful for the spirit of life that lives through me. And so it is. Thank you all very much.